نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القران المجيد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين في مقام آخر إن أولياءه إلا المتقون. The verses which I have just recited, the first one is from the Surah number 9, Surah Tawbah. And this verse has come at the end of the verses which came before that. There was an incident in the life on the time of Rasulullah, and this is what he is referring to. And I think it is appropriate at this stage that the, on your behalf and my behalf, I'd like to give Mubarakbad to the new couple, and the verse which I have just recited may be relevant to them also. That may Allah make them source of happiness to both families, and be example for the offspring which will come out as a result of their union. The verse which I have just recited, the first one, it says, O those who have accepted Iman, hey Iman walo, be conscious of Allah all the time, of your accountability to Allah, and keep the company of good people, Masadiqeen. And the other one which I recited says, Allah keep friendship. Allah's friends are those who are muttaqi, those who keep, those who are conscious of Allah's presence all the time. Now this is a fact in this world. You must have heard the terminology peer pressure. The peer pressure creates lots of problems, especially at the time when they are small, when they are young, when they are teenagers, and the habits which are formed during this period, it keeps on. You'll be surprised that even at the old age, that peer pressure works. Even though the habits have changed, even then the peer pressure works. And this is always a problem. That is, when it comes to Islam, we confine Islam to namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, and think we have done our duty and it is finished. But on the other hand, Islam demands total submission. Utlu fi silmi kaffa. Total submission. Total submission means that all the four aspects of Islam must be adhered to. Our aqaid, our beliefs, our arkan, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, our muamalat, our social transactions, and our ethics and morality. These are the only four aspects which keeps Islam. The emphasis is, and also under the pressure of the present situation, present political situation in Europe and America, everywhere else, the Western powers are trying to make Islam as they have got Christianity. Christianity has no law. In Christianity there is no halal haram. There is nothing which they can halal, which is the haram. What was the haram yesterday can become halal today, what is halal today can become haram today. In fact, they have no haram today anyway, no matter what they do. And therefore the clash with Islam is not because Islam is Islam as such, religion, but because Islam challenges in every aspect of life. You must have heard, for example, in Pakistan, there's a law that if somebody abuses the name of Rasulullah, there is a punishment for that. And this is under statute. The whole world is crying, even Muslims. They want to change the law. And they say in this age of 20th century, 21st century, this is an antique. It should be changed. The restriction on a scarf which is in France, or anywhere else for that matter. No Muslim country has got the guts to say, to speak up against it, or any Muslim country could pass a law in their own country by the same token that anybody who comes here must have a scarf. If they're not doing, why not? This verse which I just recited, this is what it is talking about. Iman relates to your heart and mind. It's a condition of your heart and mind. Anything that you want to do, first thing, it appears in your heart and mind. And then you take the next step. If I'm hungry, if I'm thirsty, if I want to do anything, first thing comes to your mind. And then you want to take action toward that. But Iman, in your heart or mind, whatever it is, it depends how strong the Iman is. How much sacrifices you are prepared to do for that. Now there will be mistakes. There will be errors in our conduct, behavior, things. Allah Ta'ala has made for this the Tawbah. Now, don't think merely it is a phenomenon of our phenomenon. Our phenomenon has gone haywire. But during the time of Rasulullah also it happened. That time also there was a peer pressure. This verse which I have just recited just now, it was the end of the verses. There was an incident in the time of Rasulullah. There was a battle of Tabuk in 9th Hijri, the 631. And you know Makkah was conquered in 8th Hijri. And after Rasulullah's migration to Medina, from the beginning, the Muslims were involved in one battle after the other. And as Islam was spreading, the two powers of the time, that is Iran and Byzantine, they were resisting it. So much so that there was a skirmish between Byzantines and the Muslim army. And there was a rumor that the Byzantines are preparing a very huge army to attack Medina or to fight the Muslims. Rasulullah ordered immediately to prepare for a war, prepare for the army, and that is known as the Battle of Tabuk. Tabuk is still there. If you go in Damascus, nearby you will find a board of Tabuk. And at that time in Medina, it was a hot season, summer. And also, the crops were ready. And Sahaba were tired of battle after battle after battle. The Minister of Islam announced, I will shorten it because it's a long story, but I will shorten it to make the point. So Sahaba got ready, but there were many who were reluctant to go, participate at that time. And they have one excuse or the other. But also there was a group of the hypocrites, Munafiqeen, in Medina, who were doing exactly the same thing what the Western power do today. And therefore, in order to create problem among themselves, among the Muslims, and this is what was happening. So as a case, there were a number of Sahaba, about six, seven of them, wanted to go, but under the influence, they did not go. Heat or whatever excuse they gave. And but three of the companions, one was Ka'b ibn Malik, Murara ibn Rubai, and Hilal ibn Umayyah. The later two, those who had participated in the Battle of Badr. Ka'b ibn Malik had participated in all the battles except the Battle of Badr. Now that gives the status of the Sahaba. And they thought, this is an army of 30,000 going, they will go slowly, and I'll cut my crop and so on and so forth, and I'll gallop my horse, and I'll catch them in a day or two. Now that day or two never came. They kept on thinking about it. In the meantime, what happened, Rasulullah came back from the battle because the rumor was turned out to be not correct. And therefore, the Rasulullah returned earlier than expected. And then these Sahaba were caught off guard. So the verses before that describe that particular situation. So the Sahaba, those who did not go, they were giving the excuses why they did not go. One of the more famous, his name was Abu Lubaba. If you go to Madin Munawwara, you see Riyaz al-Jannah, those pillars. One of the pillars there said, Ustawana Abu Lubaba. What Abu Lubaba did, that he came and admitted his error, his mistake, and he tied himself with that pillar, which is known as Riyaz al-Jannah, still there. And he said he would not allow anybody to open him, release him, until Allah Ta'ala himself forgive him and so on and so forth. At the time of namaz, they used to be untied, and they would make namaz and used to tie themselves. The other three sahaba I mentioned, Ka'b and Hilal and Murara, they came to Rasulullah. And the hypocrites came and gave their excuses. Rasulullah had known these are munafiq and therefore did not worry about them. Go away. These three, they came and they came to Rasulullah and gave their excuse. Rasulullah said to these three, you wait until Allah Ta'ala decides about you. So they go back and then Rasulullah announced a social boycott for all three of them. Until Allah Ta'ala reveals. For 50 days, that situation remained. Same Madinah Munawwara, where everybody used to talk to him, make salam, make social condition, nobody is talking to them. As if it became a strange city. The long story, and his friend and cousin, his name was Abu Qatada, he was his neighbor. And the walls were together. And after 30 or 40 days, then Ka'b ibn Malik meets Abu Qatada and make him salam. He doesn't reply. He reminds him, you are my brother, you are my cousin, you are so and so, a friend from the childhood. How come you are not even answering me? He didn't answer. So much so that after 40 days, even his wife was instructed by Rasulullah and left the house and went to her own house until Allah Ta'ala reveals. And this Ka'b ibn Malik, every day, five times, used to come to the Masjid al-Nabi and making namaz and go back and nobody is talking to them. The report says, Ka'b ibn Malik says that often I could see when I'm making namaz, I could see from the corner of my eyes Rasulullah is watching me. And as soon as I make my salam, Rasulullah used to turn away his face. This is Ka'b ibn Malik reporting this to his own. Then after 50 days, the buses arrived. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq went there, calling Abu Qatada loudly. Bushrarakum, Bushrarakum. There's a glad tidings. He heard the sound of voice, somebody calling. Who is he? Announcer came that the verses have arrived, Allah Ta'ala has forgiven me. He was so overjoyed, he took off his shirt, put on Abu Bakr Siddiq, and came running to the Prophet. Everybody now, the same Medina, few minutes before, was nobody talking to him, and suddenly everybody is competing with each other to go and shake hands and say, congratulations and Mubarakbad. And look at what the Sahabi does. They have been forgiven, made tawbah, Allah Ta'ala forgave them, the verses arrive about them. And then, the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, you forgive them or Allah Ta'ala forgive them? The verses came about us. In other words, Allah Ta'ala himself has forgiven, that is something. Now what had happened there? This is the story which I mentioned to you, what had happened there. They came under the wrong influence. So when the Quran talks about Ya Allazina Amanu, whom he is addressing? The first recipient are the Sahaba. Sahaba are being addressed. The mistakes or errors are pointed out of the Sahaba. But the difference is that the Sahaba, as soon as the mistakes are pointed out, they correct themselves. And they never do that again. Whatever order was given, they accepted. No ifs and buts. But in our case, in Urdu we say, dil mein chor hai. There is a thing in my heart. So always look for loopholes. And therefore, how much iman we have, it depends on our deeds and our actions. That iman must reflect in our deeds and our actions. We have separated the issue like the Christianity. They go once a week in church, and the rest is over. Nothing to do with anything. In our case, Islam demands a 24-hour life. According to Islam, no ifs and buts. When the Sharia hukum comes, then you must accept it. Udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. And then how do you achieve the taqwa that Quran is talking about? As our Hazrat says, if you want to have sweet meat, you go to the shop of sweet meat and eat and take it. If you want perfume, go to perfume, so on and so forth. Likewise, in order to attain taqwa, which is not something that you get from the book and you do this. If you read the Quran is full of taqwa and muttaqeen and taqwa. But how do you achieve it? So you need somebody who can tell you. Somebody point out your mistake. What's the point? And therefore, when the instruction comes, when the Allah's command comes, then there should not be any hesitation whatsoever. They should not look for loopholes. I should not go to somebody who is a Hanafi, somebody Shafi, somebody Maliki, somebody this, whichever can give a better answer. That means there is a thief in our heart. There is crookedness in our heart. Quran does not accept that. Sahaba did not do that. If Sahaba did not do that, how do we expect us to do that? If Sahaba are being asked to correct themselves, then we are asking to correct ourselves. And therefore you have to have somebody who can point out your mistakes. In your games, what does the coach do? Don't they know how to kick the football? Don't they know how to bat or how to ball? If the coach points out what is the mistake, what is the error? Likewise, this also we need. And therefore, once you've got somebody who can teach you, who can tell you, then you correct yourself. When you correct yourself, the إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Once you accept Allah as Allah, then you must remain stayed firm. Then you don't move. Then you don't make doubts. You must do that.
whatever the price you have to pay. Islam reached us because of the sacrifices of the earlier community. Otherwise, Islam would not have come. Islam, if Rasulullah wanted to compromise with the Meccan, could have done that. Sahaba did not compromise. Rasulullah did not compromise. Tabi'in did not compromise. But we are great in compromising. And nowadays, another fitna which has come is the internet. The internet has become mufti now. You don't need anything. You just go on the internet to look thing, whatever thing is right or wrong answer, you get it, and you just wait it. And then you come and tell others, oh, I saw in the internet, this was the thing. In the internet, all kinds of things are going to do. But you must have a genuine somebody whom you trust. Then you do that. Allah is watching us. All our accountability depends on our mind and thinking what we are doing. Now it is a fact of life. Death will come. Death is there every time when we are breathing. We are going closer to the grave. The time is not set. Time is not fixed. Somebody who died here in this masjid, he came for namaz. Another friend of mine, he made his Juma namaz, went to buy something somewhere else, and he died there. The point I'm making is this, it is come, what are we ready for that? Or like the Quran talks about the unbelievers, in the day of judgment when you see what is happening, say, Ya Laitani Qaddamtu Hayati. Oh, I wish I would have sent something forward to do that. So the thing is this, what we have to really promise ourselves is to live our life in such a way that becomes the example for our children, for our society, and for the greater society. Nowadays, if anybody accepts Islam because they read something good, or read the Quran, so on and so forth. There was a lady, if you remember, who was a correspondent, who became Muslim in Afghanistan. She made a remark in England, that if I had seen the Muslims the way I saw it afterwards, I may not have become Muslim. So a Muslim had to be a mirror of Islam. If not, then what do you do? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِسْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِسْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. That was going to happen. So what did we do for that? Are we prepared for to go to the grave? Just like that? What happens when we ask for the Shafa'at of Rasulullah and with our deeds which are open up there and Rasulullah says he does not belong to my ummah, what will we do? What we will do? And therefore be afraid of that. That itself should be enough for us. As our Hazrat says, there's a couplet which says, I have recited this before also. Jo karte ho tum chupke ahle jahan se, jo karte ho tum chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Whatever we are doing, hiding from the people, somebody from the top, from the above, the heaven, is watching. Allah is watching. So that itself becomes an important thing. If you do something wrong, think about it. Make tawbah and be ready. And this is what it means. So peer pressure is important. Go to schools, go to colleges, go to universities, go to shops, at home. Home environment is the one. Often we are told, when the people go to Muslim school, any Muslim school go, what kind of teachers people have, they don't teach this. But the thing is this, that boy or that girl in that school is for a few hours. For 24 hours in at home. What do you do? You have to link it up with that thing. Only then it will work. And therefore, if you have understood what I have said, Allah Ta'ala will reward you for that. And I myself require the same dua. And you and I both make dua for each other, remain steadfast, and be Muslim 24 hours a day, like a pilot
And the aeroplane is 24 hours a day. If he is driving, whatever doing, he is 24 hours on duty. Like with us, we are 24 hours of duty. You are fortunate to have here Maulana Patel Sahab, mashallah. He gives a talk. But you could listen to the talk and go away. That's not good enough. You must hold his hand and learn from him and learn your mistakes so that you do whatever he asks you to do. وآخر دعوانا بالعالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.